Father, right now, magnify the name of the Lord this morning with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I come to lift my voice in praise today. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's why we're a church, right? Amen. I come to worship this morning, and yes, I want to hear the word of the Lord, but I want the Lord to hear my voice this morning. I want him to know that I'm thankful, I'm grateful, I'm glad to be in the presence of the Lord today. I don't want to leave and not have lifted my voice in praise and given something back to him for what he's done for me this morning. Amen. Good to be here this morning. God bless you. I'm going to read a couple verses, and we'll get right into a lesson today. As always, it's certainly an honor and a privilege to be able to speak from the word of the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you will open, I just got a couple verses that I'll read for a text today. And we're going to start with Revelation, I believe, chapter 2 and verse 5. I may not have written that one down as the first one, but Revelations 2 and 5 says, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." And we're going to read one more verse in 2 Peter 3 and 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God bless you. You may be seated. I'm going to try to just give a little Sunday school lesson this morning, and we'll see how it goes. You know, in a lot of trades and a lot of industries, if you've worked in any industry for any amount of time, probably in just about any trade that you would be in, there's a thing that they require. It's like continuing education. And a lot of times it's pretty much just refresher courses on things that you already know. And sometimes it may feel redundant because, you know, well, I know all of this. But companies that are in business to make money feel that it's important that their employees and those working under them are always keeping fresh on the things that we already know. So this morning, if I could for a few minutes, I would like to just sharpen our minds about some things that we already know and some things that we know so well that it's easy to just take for granted things that we've learned and that we know. So we're just going to talk a little bit this morning about repentance. And I've titled this "The Work of Repentance." So simple lesson. And I just have a couple points that I want to talk about: the importance of repentance, the nature of repentance, and results of repentance. And if I don't finish, that's all right. There's always the next time that I come up here, and Lord willing. So I'd like to just impart some information this morning, if I can. Repentance, God's way, is contrary to, you know, our way. And spiritual lessons are not easily learned, you know, mostly because of our nature. And advancement in the kingdom of God is never going to be made without effort. So if you want to advance in the kingdom of God, there's going to have to be some effort that goes along with it. Isaiah 55 and 8 tells us, the Lord says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way, saith the Lord." So this truth really plays havoc with the human ego. And man has endeavored to do a couple things. Man has either endeavored to totally ignore the existence of God, or man will endeavor to try to approach God on his own terms. But for man to submit to the idea that God's ways are not my ways and his thoughts are not my thoughts, that goes against the nature. But God has made it very clear from the beginning. The very first step in approaching him is going to have to be, I've got to find a place, an altar, a place on my knees where I pour out my heart and be honest with God and repent. There's nothing difficult about that, but yet man finds that difficult because it really does go against our nature. So repentance is God's way to approach him. And we read in Isaiah 1 and 18, he said, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So to be sure, this is not man's idea of the way to contact the spirit world. But there's no way for us to compare the ways of God with our own ways and our own methods and ways of doing things. So we must readily admit this superiority of God's plan. Now listen, I'm not going to take anything away today from the power of the Holy Ghost. I know the Holy Ghost is absolutely the greatest miracle that could ever happen to anyone. When God decides to fill somebody with the power of the Holy Ghost, that is the greatest miracle. To think that the God of creation would choose to dwell inside of me. That is the greatest miracle. But I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost today. I'm going to talk about, you know, what has to happen before you ever get there. And I know that God has given the church many, many gifts. We know there's the nine gifts of the Spirit. And I would love to be used in the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of tongues and prophecy and healing and faith and discernment and wisdom and all those things. But honestly today, if it were possible, if it was something that God would offer to me and God would say, you know, John Newsom, what empowerment could I give you to help in your ministry? My desire today would be, God, if you would help me to compel people to repent, that would be the greatest and most powerful thing that could ever happen, is if people would see and feel the need to repent and that they would make a move towards God like that. I think that would be the greatest gift, if that could be a gift, to be able to compel you to repent. And I know today I'm probably speaking mostly to the choir, and that's good because sometimes the choir needs instruction. I mean, after all, they do meet before every service and practice songs they've already sung 100 times. Am I right, Brother Long? So we all still need to hear something. I never get beyond the place where I don't need to still find something in the Word of God for me. So even though the Holy Ghost is this greatest miracle, the very fact that God provided a means where I could access Him is one of the greatest things that could ever happen. And that way, that path, that way to access to God is, yep, you got to go down on your knees. And I know you don't have to be on your knees every time you repent, but there is something about the whole thing of the bowing and the kneeling. There's something about that, and I don't know what it is, but yeah, repentance is the only way that I'm going to be able to contact God. And the fact of the matter is, God has no obligation to ever answer a prayer of a sinner outside of the repentance. Now, I know God is sovereign, and in his mercy and his love and his care, I know that sinners pray prayers all the time for God to help them with this and that. And I know that God intervenes in situations, but actually, he's only obligated, firstly, to answer the prayer of the sinner as repentance. That is really the only true way to access God. So, while there are those that look for loopholes or unacceptable ways, there are those who will diligently pursue true repentance. When you diligently pursue true repentance, you will be blessed, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost will just happen. I've been raised in church. I know enough. There's no excuse if I'm not saved, because I have been taught and I've heard preaching and there's no excuse for me. But we've had over the years Holy Ghost Crusade. You ever been to a Holy Ghost Crusade? Maybe you've had them here, I'm sure. And you have someone come in, you get, you know, 20 get the Holy Ghost, and 50 get the Holy Ghost, and 100 get the Holy Ghost, and that's all great. And I love that. There's nothing like seeing somebody filled with the Holy Ghost. But what if we had a repentance crusade where every service was focused on one thing? I want to get people down in this altar that will pour their heart out to God and truly repent of everything that's in their heart and of everything that's in their life. And then all I need to do is only mention the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost and fire will come, because the heart has been prepared and cleaned out so that the Holy Ghost has a place to dwell. Never heard of a repentance crusade, but I think it's a good idea. Maybe one of you guys will pick up that baton and run with it. But the rest would be history if people would just repent. God, I'm sorry, Lord, for my sins. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. And I will stop when I run out of time, I promise. But in our text this morning, afternoon, whatever, 2 Peter 3:9, it said that it's the will of God for all men to repent. Really, repentance is the theme all the way through the Bible, all the way from the Garden of Eden, all the way to the end, as we read in Revelations. He said, listen, you know, you need to remember where you came from. And if you don't repent, then there's not going to be any hope for you. And I'm paraphrasing Revelations 2 and 5. But the whole Bible is full of repentance. If it wasn't important, it would be mentioned once or twice, and then that may be all. But all the way through Scripture, we're admonished, repent, repent. You got to have an altar in your life. You got to have a place where you come in contact with God. You have to have a time where you just open up your heart and confess everything and let God know you're sorry. Repentance. So, that was my introduction. What is the importance of repentance? The gospel we know in the nutshell is the death, burial, and resurrection. We know that repentance is a type of death. And just as if Jesus died on the cross in death, then we must die out to ourselves in repentance. And we know that this flesh must be crucified. And then we know that after that is the burial or baptism, and that represents the burial in Jesus' name, and that's the washing away, and that's the sins being remitted. In Romans 6:4, it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And then the last step, of course, is the receiving of the Holy Ghost, which is the resurrection. But the importance of repentance cannot be overlooked. The importance of repentance cannot be overemphasized in our walk with God. And it's not a one-time thing where we come into the church and we repent and we get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. But it has to be a lifestyle for us. When the Apostle Paul talked about praying without ceasing, it didn't mean that he was constantly in a prayer closet and praying. It just meant that as he was going about his daily things, he had a God awareness and a sensitivity to the presence of God, so that when he did something that was in opposition to God, immediately his heart was smitten and he found a place of repentance. So really, the praying without ceasing is a God awareness. When you have a close friend, or if you're married and you've been married very long, you know exactly what your spouse doesn't like and does like. And you've learned very quickly in a relationship that if you want the relationship to stay strong, you stop doing the things that irritate your spouse. Still working on that. Can I get an amen? But it is the truth, and it is with God. You know, we're in a relationship with God. So when you're in a relationship, over time, you begin to understand through the preaching, which is why we come to church and we hear preaching and sermons, is so that we can always learn and grow and know what is pleasing and displeasing to God. So in that relationship, if I am walking with God, immediately when I do something that I know is contrary to him, my heart will be smitten and I will know, oh, God, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have gone there. I shouldn't have acted like that. I shouldn't allow that to get into my heart. And you take care of it. That, my friend, is repentance. It's not hard. It's being able to say, God, I'm sorry. It's not like when you was a kid. Now, I was the best of the two siblings that my parents had. And even though I got the most spankings, maybe that's why I was the best. But when I would do something wrong, and every one of you parents probably have done this, tell your sister you're sorry. Sorry. That's not repentance. Tell her like you mean it. I'm sorry. Really not sorry. Just doing it because I was told to. That's not repentance, okay? Repentance is truly being sorry. Stressed it over and over again. Luke 13:3 said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Acts 17:30 says that at times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. I think that includes us. All and everywhere, we would be one of those places. We're either part of the all or we're part of everywhere. I've been commanded to repent, and I want to live a life that of repentance. So I won't read this whole setting in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5, but it really is the Apostle Paul. He wasn't at Corinth at this time, but you could read it later, but he talked about he felt in his spirit, even though he wasn't physically there, he knew that there was this problem at the church in Corinth. Apparently, they had allowed fornication to find its way into the church, and they were all aware of it, apparently, but yet they just kind of glossed it over and decided, we just don't have to deal with this. But you see, God is not going to let something just be glossed over when it's a matter of where you're going to spend eternity. And so Paul begins to exhort this church and says, hey, listen, you better not ignore this. You better take care of this. It's not just something you can sweep under the rug. He said, this must be addressed muy pronto for my good friends over here, brother and sister Barraza. Did I say that right in Spanish? Close. Very quick is what that means, right? I'm trying. My wife speaks Spanish, and she's been trying for 28 years to teach it to me. So, the point I'm making is we cannot allow sin to go unchecked. This past week, I experienced something that at first I thought it was nothing, and then it became something. I think it was Thursday. I had a little spot of marn. Like, you ever get a mosquito bite and just make that little bump that kind of itches? I think that was Thursday. So I had this little bump on my arm, and it was just a bite, I guess. And as the day progressed, my arm started hurting really bad. Like, I could look at the arm, and there was no evidence of anything anywhere. But my arm was hurting really bad. I mean, to touch it was very, very painful. And I thought, well, that's just kind of weird. I'm getting old. And then a few hours pass, and I look, and there's a red line going from that. It's about right here. I'll just keep my shirt and jacket on, but it's about right here. And this red line was going, and it went all the way to the elbow. Well, that probably isn't good. Well, it's not that big a deal. It's a mosquito bite. And I came by the church, and I was talking to Brother Medling, and so I had him pray for me, just in case. No. But then by that evening, the line had gone up, and it was up under my arm, and I think it was almost to my armpit. And then Friday, I think it was Friday, I might have the days wrong, I don't know, but the next day, it was all the way through my armpit and right here. Maybe I should do something. So I called this nurse on call thing and explained everything to her. She said, you probably should come in. Okay, here we go, 3 or 4 hours out of the day. So I went in, they looked at it, and they said, well, it's an insect bite of some kind. They had no way of knowing what it was. So they put me on these antibiotics, 4 a day for 10 days, and sent me home. And then Saturday morning, I woke up, and my whole arm is purple, all the way up and under my armpit and into my chest. It got a little thinner as it went here. Now I'm scared. Like, well, that can't be normal. So I called this nurse back again, and she said, I explained everything again. And she said, well, give the antibiotics 48 hours and see if it gets better. And so today last night would have been 48 hours, I think. And today, if it wasn't better, I'm supposed to go in, and they're going to admit me to the hospital and put the IV. So they're going to do it by IV. I said all that to tell you this. There is nothing more that the devil would like to do than to inject venom into you that you think is nothing and inconsequential, that can spread through you like a cancer. And by the time that you catch it, now it's not an easy fix anymore. And this is what he did at this Corinth church. He had convinced them that it was no big deal. I really thought that was not a big deal, but without treatment, it could have been a very big deal. And this morning, I want us to understand, I can't let anything go unrepented of. It doesn't matter how small and insignificant it may be. And I will tell you, being around church all of my life, I could preach sermons all day long about not letting things get into your heart. But there was a time when I woke up and I found out there was something in there that wasn't quite right. I found out that John Newsom was harboring some little bitterness in there that I didn't think there was there. And I could preach all day long to you about it, but somehow it had happened to me. And I preach with conviction today about this because I know what it did. And I thought it was gone because it wasn't a big deal. But then something comes up and bam, there it is. And you wake up and now you realize there's something in my heart that's not right. I want to tell you, I found an altar. And I said, God, I don't know about this. I thought it was gone. I thought it wasn't a big deal. But Lord, if there's something in me, if there's anything in me, God, I want to make sure that my heart is clean and right with you. And I am confident this morning, if I've been confident in anything, that I am not the only one that has ever found themselves in that position. No, the enemy of my soul can't get me to go and get drunk or go to a crack house. But if he can get something in you and can inject you with a little bit of venom so that it begins to grow inside of you and you ignore it, then he really has accomplished what he's trying to do. That's why I cannot take lightly the work of repentance. Every day I want to search my heart. David said in Psalm 139, I believe it was, in 22 and 23, and I know I'm jumping around with my scriptures. I don't ever use all of them, but he said, Lord, search me and know my thoughts. He said, know my thoughts and know my heart. He said, Lord, try me and see if there's any wicked way in me, because sometimes we can justify something that comes into our life and justify the feelings that we have about it, and we don't even recognize it as sin, so there will never be a time that I will repent. That's why David prayed that prayer. God, if I put anything in here that I think is okay, but yet you see it as wicked, God, I want you to reveal it to me, Lord, so that I can get rid of it. The work of repentance. I want to tell you the far-working power of repentance will cover everything, but my responsibility is to do the repenting. It will cover everything if I will open my mouth and say, God, search me and try me. Repentance will take care of everything if I will just be the one that acts on that path that God has provided to repentance. I'm of the mind that any heart condition that you have, and I'm not talking about the blood pump inside of my chest, but I'm talking about the inner being and the soul of man and the mind of man. Any problem that's within the soul of man can be fixed at this place right here. Now, I know you can have an altar call, an altar anywhere you want to go, and some of my best prayer meetings have been in my front seat of my car going down the road when nobody knows, but there's something about this place. It's this place that God has designated where he chooses on a Sunday and a Wednesday to dwell with his people. It is this place where God has anointed and said, if you will come to this place. No, it's not because of the wood or the carpet, but it's because it is a dedicated place that we call an altar. And it's not new or unique. You can go all the way back to the beginning in the Old Testament, and they built altars. There must be something about a physical place where I can find God and pour out my soul in repentance. You need fixing this morning? Right here, this is the garage. Right here, we'll put you up on the lift. God will put you up on the lift, and he'll do an inspection of your heart, and he'll check every aspect of you, and he'll convict your heart of anything that's not right. And when you get up and you leave, you can have the assurance and the peace of mind that everything is all right between me and God because I made a trip to the altar in repentance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:1, he says, Wherefore, see, we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. You see, one of the things that happens when you repent, it lifts that weight and that burden. There's something about when you're carrying sin around, It'll bog you down. Maybe people around you won't know, but my wife would know. What's wrong with you? You ain't prayed. Boy, everybody needs a wife like that, huh? I love my wife. She tries to keep me on the straight and narrow. But it bogs you down. Sin is burdensome. Why do we want to carry it? Why do you want to carry those feelings in your heart? Why do you want to carry that bitterness? Why? It's got you weighted down. You can't even hardly get out of bed anymore because it's got you so weighted down. But there's something about when I repent. Huh, I feel light again. I feel good again. I want to tell you this is only accomplished through repentance. Coming clean with God. That deep contrition and that complete honesty in the emptying process. Yeah, God knows everything, right? I mean, he knows everything you've done wrong, said wrong, thought wrong, and everything inside your heart. But there's something about the brokenness of my heart when I begin to repent. That's going to be when that load is lifted and that burden is lifted off of me. That burden leaves only through genuine repentance. And just as important as that is the infilling of the Holy Ghost afterwards. But the next thing is that it relieves the conscience. Boy, your conscience could be your friend or your enemy. So if you've been going against your conscience, then your conscience can almost, you know, bolster your self-righteousness or, you know. But your conscience is there for a reason. It doesn't stop you from sinning. But boy, it'll sure let you know when you do. But it's by design that way. It's supposed to work like that. But when we're aware of guilt that's unrepented of, you really can't believe God and take advantage of the promises he's made to you. That's why the repentance is that first thing. That's why you got to do it first. Don't come to God with your petitions of the things that you want and need in your life. Come clean with him. Because if you don't come clean, you'll never be able to believe him for the other things that he's promised. The book is full of promises and exhortations for me. But if I never come clean, I'll never have the faith to believe God for those things. Conscience doesn't prevent us from wrongdoing. It's a thing that gives you the good feeling when you do right. And it's a thing that will smite you when you do wrong. But what we understand in 1 Timothy 4:2, that it is possible to disregard this. He says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. When that condemning voice of the conscience can no longer be heard, that's a scary place to be. When you can be dead wrong and feel like you're dead right, that's a scary place to be. That's why don't wait till next week to repent for something. And sure don't wait till next month or next year. But before the end of the day, when we leave here around 3 o'clock, between now and then, find a place on your knees at an altar and just make sure, God, I want to make sure that everything in my heart is right today. That voice that condemns you can get so dim. A lot of times people will do things to quieten that voice. You know, the people get involved in all kinds of things, and you know, drugs and alcohol and different things like that. But it's to kind of muffle that voice. You need to repent. And you do more and more wrong to try to silence that. But I'm glad that in all the things I deal with in life, God has that built-in relief valve. He has that built-in system. I used to install water heaters, and there was a thing they called a TP valve, temperature pressure relief valve, so that if a water heater, the water got too hot, the valve would open, or if the pressure built up inside of it to too high of a level, that this valve would open. God has given us that today. What a blessing. There's a relief valve, and it's just simply repenting. Have you ever heard of anybody that genuinely repented and they regretted it? Have you ever heard anybody say, yeah, I repented, but I'm sure sorry I repented? It's not going to happen. Because everyone, young or old, great or small, when you repent, And I'm glad I did that. That was hard to make my way up to the altar, Pastor. But I'm glad I did it. I'm glad that I finally submitted my way to God and I found an altar of repentance. I know when I get sick, there's one thing I hate. I will not throw up. I'll do 100 things to avoid that. You know, my wife said, just throw up, you'll feel better. Just shut up and I'll feel better. But I hate to do it, and I'll eat soda crackers, and I'll just stand real still and try to stretch, thinking maybe, you know, it'll move the other way or whatever, because I hate it. But, man, it's just true. If you throw up, you're going to feel better. Get that stuff out of you. Why do we try to hold on to it? Let it go. That's what repentance is. Let's not downplay the importance and the power and what happens at repentance. And I know you guys have heard repentance, but man, we just need to hear it again. I just need to hear it again. I need to keep the altar active in my life. I need to get that place where God meets me. I need to keep that path clear. I need to make sure there's nothing intercepting my prayers before God. The only thing that can intercept my prayers is if my heart is not repented. I want to stay in a constant condition of being repented. I'm out of time, so I don't know how it's going to fit, but I'm going to go to the last page. You got to have godly sorrow. The Bible says, see, when I jump ahead, I lose my place. If you can find the verses, but godly sorrow work with repentance. And that is that, you know, the contrition of heart. And there's a difference in being sorry and being repentant. I worked in the jail ministry in San Diego for probably 15 years. And you find out two things. One, everyone in there is innocent. And the other thing you find out is they all say they're sorry, but they're sorry that they were caught. They're not really sorry for what they've done. And we read in Hebrews chapter 2, not Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, I think it was, and verse 2, or maybe down a little further, about Esau being profane. And it says that he sought repentance with tears. My opinion is it wasn't tears of sorrow for what he had done. It was sorry because of what he lost. He lost his right to the birthright and to the blessing. So tears does not indicate the godly sorrow. The godly sorrow is when we begin to recognize sin as God sees sin. And when you begin to do that, it's going to work that godly sorrow in you. Oh, it was my sin that put him on the cross. Man, that's horrible. And then that will, in turn, work the repentance that's necessary. We know David's prayer. He was a king. You need to go to Psalms 51 and just read his prayer again. This is a king that was praying that. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. Before that, he said, make the bones which thou hast broken to rejoice. We can't excuse our faults. You know, after Job, if you'll stand with me, I'm closing. After Job caught a glimpse of God's holiness and his goodness, we read in Job 42:5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye has seen thee. Wherefore I will abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. When we really see the things the way that God sees them, it won't be hard to repent. We see the result of sin, the outcome of sin, and what it does. If we went back to Hebrews, 12, 1 again. The second verse after it says, you know, laying aside the weight and the sin that so easily beset us and run with patience this race that is set before us. The next verse says, looking unto Jesus. You see, the direction of your gaze will determine whether you repent or not. He said, after you repent, because that verse was about repenting in verse number 1. In verse 2, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. If we will look unto him, if we will set our gaze on him, it won't be hard to repent. It won't be hard to come clean. And I just wanted to share this with you today. It's been on my heart. Brother Totoro preached a couple Sundays ago about repentance. And I did speak with him this week because I wanted to try to compliment what he said because it was good. But I want my gaze to be right. Then I will live a life of repentance. I'll never be caught off guard. I'll always be ready to repent. If the prophet comes to me, John, this and this and this and this, I'll fall on my knees. God, forgive me. Amen. Can we just lift our hands as we close this service out this morning? Let's just ask God to continually prepare our hearts through this service today and reveal anything to us that maybe shouldn't be in our hearts. Lord, I want to have a repentant heart, God. I want my heart to be clean and pure before you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you're worthy this morning, Lord. We give you glory and praise, God. Have your way, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you.